You know, years ago, there was an evangelistic group that came through when I was a young girl, by the way. And they were so good. They were singers and they were ministers. And I remember her name was Emma Pearl Moore. And this was her family group. She and her husband, he preached. She sung and ministered. And boy, were they good. Or at least I thought they were. And we loved them so much. And she was the sister of Nancy Harmon. Many of you might know Nancy Harmon. And yet, Nancy was on all the Christian programming on TV. Emma Pearl Moore was never on TV that I know of. Maybe up in Oregon sometimes and some local TBN chapters up there or affiliates. But anyway, Emma Pearl Moore was actually a better songwriter than Nancy Harmon. This morning as I was preparing to come, I was singing to myself one of her songs. And I thought, even then, I thought, Emma, Sister Emma, I think you're writing way ahead of your time, because she would prophesy as she wrote. And as she wrote, she said, in a world, one song, in a world of confusion, in a time of despair, there's only one answer, and he'll soon be here. And I thought, well, but until he gets here, what do we do? And it led me to say that because yesterday, as I was seeking the Lord, man, I have been engulfed in the Word during this time of crisis or pandemic or whatever you want to call it, confusion. It's a chaotic mess. And now with the election on top of it, and I don't think anybody believes the election's right or real or true. And so I've just got to tell you, that's where this message comes from. And I remember the very first time I found this verse. By the way, you can go ahead and turn to Psalms chapter 11. We'll be right there. But I remember one time in the late 80s, the early 90s, we were traveling on the road. And we were down in this little place called Climax Springs, Missouri. And we couldn't get direct TV or, you know, Dish or any of those things they have on TV now. And we traveled on this bus and we stayed in hotels, but they still didn't have it. So I always read the USA Today, and I'd get to the hotel, grab the USA Today, and it's during the time that Clinton was doing his thing and all the mess that created. And I remember going to that little church there in Climax Springs that morning, and we were in the Bible Belt. But how many of you have ever been to the Bible Belt in church? You'll know that it is just kind of a place of religious cows, sacred cows. And so usually we'd have 5 nights of services and then take a break, or we would have Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then we'd have a 2 or 3 day break until the next services started on Sunday. And so I'd read the USA Today so I could stay up with it. And we went into that little church, and I'll remember the Lord giving me this message then. And we thought that it was such a mess then, and I thought about it compared to where we are today, and it's like, oh my goodness, we're about 1,000 times past that. But I did hear Pastor Kilpatrick preach this in his last message. He said before, I think it was him, before you can have a Clinton, you've got to have a Clinton nation. Before you can have a Biden, before you have the mess that we have now, you have to have that kind of a nation. How many knows we got there? But there's still us. There's still the people of God that have sought his face and looked for him and committed ourselves to God, which draws a line right down the middle. Amen? So I want to take you over there and wait for me right there in the Psalms, chapter 11. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and I know I've told you this before, but most of us just never dreamed that I'll say that we have the honor of living in a time of history like this, where history is being made and where a new era is turning over, a new page in a new era. Who would have ever dreamed that we would have been the generation that God chose? And in Acts chapter 17, he knows all about us. It says that he knew our race, the borders where we live, and what city we would live in. You and I have been appointed to 2020. We've been appointed to live during this time, whether you're a baby boomer or a millennial or whoever you are, we were appointed to be in this time, and I'm really glad that I am. But when you've studied revival history, and I've studied a lot about revival history, I was never good in U.S. history and civics, and as Laura Polish said yesterday, she said, you know, I'm learning a lot about civics right now. I think we all are. But whenever I was studying revival history, I found out that at the turn of every century, every 100 years, but especially at the turn of a millennium, which is 1,000 years, oh my goodness, did chaos ever break out. And you and I are now in the second decade of history being made and a new era, a new millennium. It's the most amazing, amazing thing. And it's like this era, this new era and history have kissed each other, and you and I are right in the middle. Makes me think of the Bible talking about in the Psalms. The psalmist said, mercy and truth have kissed each other. But right now, you and I live under mercy and truth. But now we're in a place where we are seeing not so much the mercy and truth, which is still available and still ours, but history and a new era and the chaos that comes with it. So we know that in today, my goodness, I love the prophecy, but I don't want us to get discouraged or listen to anything, any false prophets. We've got to have true prophets, but there's so much being said. There's words, 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 words. And there's good words and there's bad words. And there's awesome prophecies, and many of the greatest prophets. I believe that God has loosed an anointing for prophets in this age, and thank God for it. But we said, out of all the gifts of the Spirit, I believe that we need the discerning of spirits the most. Secondly, prophecies, accurate prophecies. Because when the prophecy is accurate, it will tell you what you already know. And when it tells you something you don't know, it will be very accurate and it will come to pass. So we're living in a wonderful, wonderful day, even though there's all kinds of things being said. There's ideas and there's philosophies and there's prophecies and, oh my goodness, the new and the old and righteousness and unrighteousness. And the battle is enormous. And there's political sides. There's the good and the bad and the ugly, and it's pretty much all ugly. But we're drawing up sides now on which side we are. And let me tell you something, you better draw up which side you're on. Oh, you all are quiet in here. Is this a Presbyterian church or what? I'm telling you, you better know whose side you're on. Which stand do you take? In fact, Jeremiah said, he said, how long will you halt between two opinions? No, 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 no. We cannot waver between two opinions. We can't go back and forth. So what I want to bring you today is not a word from me, but it's a word from the Word. I want to remind you today of God's Word. A lot of people are saying, I woke up, I dreamed, and much of it's true. And I heard, and that's true. And God has said, and that's true. You'll never find me despising prophesying, because the Bible told us not to. I love it when it's accurate. I hate it when it's false. But you see, the Spirit of the Lord is saying something to us today. But I must remind you to get back to the Word of the Lord, because the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that the Word of God, listen, the Word of God is what? Quick. That means it's living. It's quick. It doesn't take all day to get something done if you grab a hold of it and believe it. The Word of God is quick and it's powerful. That means a dynamo, dynamite. Man, it can blow up anything. Today, this age we're living in, it's not out of sorts with God. God can just blow the whole thing up anytime he's ready. So this Word of God, and John said, the Word was with God in the beginning, and the Word was God. So that which you hold on your lap right now, it's him. It's him. And Jesus is quick. His Word is quick. It's powerful. And he said it's sharp. And you know what, Kathy? He didn't just say sharp. I love it. He said it's sharper. Amen? Somebody say sharper? It's sharper than any double-edged sword, in any two-edged sword. Oh, we're seeing all kinds of two-edged swords today. In fact, I was thinking of the two-edged sword where we talk out of both corners of the mouth. Some are doing that today. They talk out of this corner, oh, then that corner, this corner and that corner. Oh, how long will you be between two opinions? Are you on this side or this side? Sometimes you never can tell where people stand. But if we will stand on this, it says that sharp two-edged sword that is sharper than anyone else's two-edged sword, it is more powerful than any power somebody thinks they have. Then he says it's quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it just cuts right into the intents of the heart. Ooh, it'll just cut right in there. And it doesn't just cut in for no reason. It cuts in to pull out. And so when it cuts in, it will cut in and destroy and take out anything that needs to be pulled out. It's just like a surgeon's knife. Surgeon. Do you remember that time, Brother Mike, when I had those, I grabbed a hold of a cactus at my mother's house. She had this little cactus in her window, and I was closing her window one night. And instead of grabbing the pot, I took hold of the cactus. Well, how can you be that smart and still breathe? But anyway, so I was telling Portia, I think, and I said, man, I got these splinters, and I pulled out all the ones that I could pull out, and then they would fester. And I thought, I got them all out. And she said, well, if you come over here, Mike's got this magnifying glass. He can get them out. Well, what the woman of God did not tell me is that her sweet and precious husband used scalpel with that thing. And I said, you are not using that scalpel. He said, oh, yes, I am. It's real small. It's real small. Do you want that thing out of your thumb or not? Hey, I won't hurt you. Well, you know what? It really didn't. And so he got that out of my thumb. He got one out of here, got one out of there. And the next week I called again. I said, hey, I thought you got that thing out. He said, no, those cactus just keep coming. I said, well, I need to come back. And so then I went back, he got the scalpel, got his little thing on his head, you know, magnified the sticker in there. I mean, this went on for a while. So finally I called one day, I said, Portia, can I come back? I got to see Mike again. She goes, are you sure you're coming about that cactus? Oh, my gosh, is that crazy or what? Anyway, we got all the cactus out. But I'm just telling you, that little scalpel, it knew how to just cut so far. And you know this blade that we have in the Word, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, Judy, and it knows how to get right down in there and pull the thing out. And there won't be any leftovers. There won't be any leftovers. When God does it, he just gets it all. So I'm just telling you, folks, I'm not the least bit ashamed or afraid to bring you this message that I'm about to bring you this morning. I'm just not, because I want us to stand on this Word. Because humanism and socialism and Marxism and atheism, see, they're all one. and they want to overthrow this nation. They want to overthrow America, overthrow the president, overthrow the government, overthrow conservatism, and you and I are going to have to stand on this. I don't care what anyone else is saying. You get your little hips right here, put your eyes on this, and stay totally focused. Don't you dare lose focus. Our God is able. Hallelujah. It's good and evil. It's right or left. I read this week. The foundation of a nation and its people are upon its laws and constitution. Let me read it again. The foundation of a nation and its people are its laws and its constitution. This week, I was driving down Morton Street, and you know they were Henderson. They've got the road all tore up. And there were three, four Caltrans men over there. And this guy had this, is it a jackhammer, you call it, the one that goes. And he was just tearing up that road. I mean tearing it up. Just, and I'm thinking, how does he stand that? How does he stop shaking? I mean, he was just tearing it up. And when I saw that, you know, the Holy Spirit, he's always there. He always sees us. He always knows what we're thinking. And I heard what he was thinking. And I began to feel that jackhammer, that Satan was trying to take a jackhammer to our Constitution in America and to our freedom and just trying to tear up everything that our forefathers stood for. And God said, I won't have it. I will not have it. And with that, oh my goodness, I was so thrilled. I love seeing those men. I thought, God, that's kind of how we feel like we're being shaken. And he said, well, you are. Everything is being shaken that can be shaken. And he said, the only thing that cannot be shaken is my kingdom. And so, folks, you stay right there in his kingdom. Don't you move from his kingdom. This is his law. This is his constitution, and it will not be shaken. So we stand right here in Jesus' name. All right, you ready to read? All right, Psalms 11, verse 1. Psalms chapter 11, verse 1. In the Lord, by the way, Lindell, this is to the chief musician. You're the chief musician at Landmark, so hold on to this today. In the Lord, I put my trust. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow on the string that they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart. I want you to stop right there. This is David speaking. And Saul has a wicked. Now he's the king, though David's anointed to be king. He's been anointed three times to be king. Oh, we learned some of that last week about Absalom. His son tried to steal the throne, and Saul took the throne, literally. The people voted Saul in. And then some of the people, listen carefully this morning, and you'll learn, and this will be a comfort to you when you leave here today. And the people said to David, why don't you just flee as a bird to the mountain, just get over there and give in and shut up? Why don't you just run away, David? Look at them. The wicked bend their bow and they make ready their arrow on the string that they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart. Now, when the bow is bent, that means, and the arrows is talking about words. It said they are sending words secretly to the upright in heart. Americans, people of God, I speak to you this morning. The bows have been bent. The arrows and the string. The string is pulled back. Secretly. To what? Oh, you think it's about taking President Trump out? Yes. You think it's about all these other things? Actually, it's about the upright in heart. That's what this whole thing's about. It's the church. We want God's people. We want their freedom and all the things they stand for, from freedom of life to the unborn, to the freedom of religion, religious liberties, to standing on the Constitution, and their forefathers' doctrines and values, and the amendments of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. We don't want any of it. So we're privately coming against you in the name of an election. That's just a name. But secretly, it's about what I just read to you. And they said, then why don't you, David, just run? They say to President Trump, why don't you concede? Why don't you just say, Joe, you won? It would be much easier for you if you just give in and go home to your big castle in New York and just stay there. But see, I don't think they've ever quite ran on to a crazy man like this, who just happens to be a billionaire. And he says no, and 1,000 times no, I will not. And then his children are just like him. And the people around him are just like him. And the church is like him to a point. Our mouths better not be like him. Now, look, I know we're under grace and mercy, but did you read my little devotional this week on Facebook where I said, do you cuss? And then I just got transparent. And then after I wrote it, I thought, I wish I hadn't told him all that. But anyway, I did. But you see, he stands up for us. And he stands up for America. He says, America first. In fact, he said that at the UN, America first. I mean, he stands up for us. He stands up for the unborn. He stands up for the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the amendments. He just stands up for good old working people. People that just work hard with their hands. He's not a part of their little club, their social club in Washington, D.C., and they cannot tolerate it. And so today you better choose whose side you're on, because the president is on our side. And Biden is on the way that is broad. It's broad. We're on a really narrow path, folks, very narrow. It's an amazing thing. But they're trying to jackhammer it right out from under us. I named this message today, This Is the Time. So you can't declare that. Well, I'm just telling you, this is the time. Time for this. David says, no, look at the very first verse in that chapter. In the Lord I put my trust. How can I say to my soul, flee to a bird to the, like a bird to the mountain? David said, how can I do that? My trust is in the Lord. Christian, I want to ask you today, how can you fold in this? How can you jump to the other side when you love God and you trust Him with all of your heart? Don't you dare give up and don't you give in. But you stand fast in what you believe in and whom you believe. For He will keep us, saith the Lord. Amen. David just flat would not give in to Saul's evil government. He wouldn't, though his lies were coming, the lies were coming, and the people, his people's lies and their words were coming. Come on, come on, come on, David, get in the mountain. Get in there and huddle down and hide. Act like you're afraid. David said, I'm just an ordinary man. But I remember, I killed a bear and I killed a lion. And I can take down this giant. And that little boy did it with one rock, one stone. And church, our stone is our prayers, and our stone is the Word of God. Because this thing is quick, it's powerful, and it's sharper, and it's more powerful than any giant in this entire world. We have it. We have the most power. We have the most strength. We've got the sharpest sword. So what are we doing cowering back here wondering? I don't know. I don't. All right. Verse 3. Here's what it gave me back there at Climax Springs. I don't even remember how I taught it, but I do remember this verse when I found it. Verse 3, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? What are we going to do, church? What are we going to do? Well, I think David, first of all, told us what we can't do. He said, you cannot run. And you cannot fall down and cower. That's what we can't do. He said, because our trust is in a living God, a powerful God, a sharp God, a quick God. Oh, he's fast. You say, well, not fast enough. Oh, he's on his own time frame. Now, Isaiah said his ways are not like ours. His thoughts are not like ours. Now, we've got our own kind of thinking, but he said, I've got mine. So it'll be in my time. So what can we not do? We cannot distrust God. Our trust is in the Lord. Now, I don't know if you could get here quick enough for me, but if not, it's fine. I'll be quick. But Jeremiah 32 and 27, you might want to write that down. Jeremiah 32 and 27, so you'll just know where it is. Most of you have the scripture memorized. Jeremiah 32, 27. For I am the Lord. I am the God of all flesh. Listen. Is there anything too hard for me? I want to ask you that question, church. If you read it in other translations, whether it be the Message or the Living Bible, it reads like, I am the Lord. I am the creator of every man and woman in the universe. Is anything too hard for me? So I need to ask you a question this morning, church. And you need to answer me so the angels of heaven can hear you, so Jesus can hear you, and so the devils and his imps can hear you. Is anything too hard for our God? Thank you. I just wanted us to grab a hold of that. And don't you forget it this week. Let me read you another scripture, Isaiah 59, 1, and then I'm going to ask you a question. And I'll expect a loud, strong answer. The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Let me ask you a question, church. Is God's hand too short to reach America with his power? Good answer. We got the right answer. Hold it, hold it, hold it. Let me ask you one more question. I only plan to ask you two, but I'll ask you a third. Is anything impossible with God? We have that. We have this word, which is quick and powerful. So I'm telling you, we've got so much going for us. So why are we feeling hopeless? You say, I'm not. Well, some are. I mean, it's a scary place. If you are not standing in this and on this and reading this and talking to God every day, you're going to get scared. You're going to get all worked up. Now, it just happens because we are flesh, but I'm going to tell you it doesn't have to. When you remember those three questions I ask you, you've got the right answers. Yes. You gave me the right answers, so there's no cause for us to get all worked up about it. Because you see, when you are worked up about it, what's happening is you're just listening to too many lying voices. David wouldn't listen to them, so you just have to cut it all off. Now, you can't cut it off completely, but probably every morning or evening, you need to turn on the evening news, not Fox, because we're mad at them now. Just being true with you. So just get over to Newsmax. Okay, we don't give them 2 cents of our time. Yeah, I know, but I like Tucker and I like Hannity. Forget about it. No. Just. So anyway, but you need to listen just to make sure we're all still here. Okay? Just see what's going on, man. I just eat my dinner right there on the TV tray in front of the TV. And that's as long as I watch it. Maybe for breakfast and dinner. But that's it. I'm not going to feed all the lies in, but that's pretty much enough, because if you watch one in the morning, they all say the same thing all day long. Okay, I'm just giving you great words of wisdom, profound knowledge. Listen to it, and it'll go all day long. Okay, verse 4. Now, can we read verse 3 again? David says this, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, I thought they were being destroyed in Clinton's day because he was doing horrible things in the Oval Office. And I'm thinking, oh, God, our foundation's being destroyed. No, they weren't trying to tear down our Constitution. They were trying to do all that. But now, I mean, this is a new era. This isn't the 90s anymore, honey. This isn't the 90s. This isn't the first decade. This second decade, 2020. All right, so he says, so what can the righteous do if the foundations are destroyed and it's trying to be destroyed now? And it could be. It could be, but I don't believe God's going to let it be because of what I'm bringing you this morning. Look at verse 4. So David just jumps off. I want you to see this. Look at the space between what can the righteous do if the foundations are destroyed. What can the righteous do? And he really doesn't give us an answer right there. But he goes into the next verse, verse 4, that is so absolutely powerful. It goes along with those questions that you just answered. Look at verse 4. This is so comforting. Oh, I pray this comforts you like it did me. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. He tells you where he lives. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. That's them. The Lord tests the righteous. That's us. Listen, but the wicked and the one who loves violence, his soul, say it, hates. You say, now, Pastor, you better not talk that way. I didn't. The Word did. It said God hates that. He hates them, the wicked, and the one whom loves violence, his soul hates. Upon the wicked, he will rain coals. And it gets meaner after that. I mean, this gets really mean. Look at this. Fire and brimstone and a burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. Now, if you're tormented with just a little drop of hell, what would a cupful of hell be? Woo! Fire and brimstone and a burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. Verse 7, for the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright. You cannot argue with that word. You may argue with somebody else, but you cannot argue with the Word of God. He said, this is just the way it's going to be. It's going to be just like that. Now, this king, he lives in his holy temple. The Lord is in his holy temple. He said he's there right now. David said he's there right now. And the Lord's throne is in heaven. That's where it is. Now, the Holy Spirit, he sent the Holy Spirit to be here, but Jesus is at the right hand of God. That's very clear. And it says his eyes behold and his eyelids test the sons of men. His eyelids never close. Because, you say, how do you know that? Because David tells us that the God of Israel, he never sleeps and he never slumbers. He just never does. He never goes to sleep. So he sees us all the time. I teach my babies that all the time. They go to bed at night. If I'm there, I say, look, God doesn't go to sleep. He's always watching. Very comforting. His eyelids. He's never far from us. Never is our God far from us. He knows exactly what's happening in America right now. Can I tell you that? His eyes are just looking at the whole deal. He is seeing wickedness. He is seeing darkness. He is seeing filth. He is seeing corruption. He is seeing the diabolical schemes. He's seeing all the thievery and all the mess. And he knew it from the beginning. And John told us that Satan comes, that thief comes to what? Kill and steal and destroy. So that's all we're seeing. And then, again, right there in John 10:10, he didn't even give us an answer. He just said, I come. He didn't say and or but, no conjunction, no and or but. He just said, I come to give you life and to give that to you more abundantly. That's where God wants us. So in 5 and 6, when it said, look, the Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. Can I ask you, if God hates the wickedness and the wicked man and woman that he sees doing things, as we saw last week, we saw a real two-legged man, Governor Cuomo, in New York. We saw him say the numbers of COVID have come down, but God didn't do that. Fate didn't do that. We did that. God saw that. He saw him. He heard him with his ears. He didn't close his eyelids. He didn't blink. He didn't wink. He said, at one time, I winked at ignorance. I'm not winking anymore. God's not winking today, church. He sees the whole deal. He knows what's going on under this election. And you'll see all the truth come out. And this thing will turn on a dime. Now, you don't have to worry about the Antichrist. He's coming. The one world order is coming. But when the Antichrist comes, we won't be here. No, we just won't. There's many scriptures, but I'm not preaching on eschatology today. But what you're seeing right now is the spirit of the Antichrist on earth. And you're seeing them all getting it all dressed up for the Antichrist to come. And you watched as you've seen Google, Facebook, Twitter. They've all exposed their ugliness. They've exposed their bows and arrows that's pulled against the upright. Oh, they just can't help themselves. When God says, I'm going to turn you over and I'm going to expose you, then they can't help themselves. Maybe they don't want to, but when you say something good, they'll just put a little thing on it and lock you out and show you exactly what demons they are. We don't want to hear anything good. You are not going to talk bad about us. They're going to try to squelch freedom of speech. But don't you believe for one moment that's going to go much farther. It's going to be exposed and it will be quick. So why should we run from those evil men and evil things if God hates them? Can you answer me that? Why? No. We're not going to run. We're not going to be afraid. If God don't like them, I don't like them either. You shouldn't say that. Well, you do? Good. I like it when some agree. But see, when you're up here, you just can't worry about being popular. Because I'll get in trouble, and I don't want to be drinking no cups of wrath. And I don't want to drink a drop of it. Now, remember Haman, and I'm closing, but Haman was in a real high spot in the palace. Man, Haman was just like this with the king, and they were wicked, wicked, wicked. But see, what they were counting on was little Esther, the little woman of God. The little woman of God. Sometimes the people of God, the church has stayed a little bit quiet in this deal. You know, where everybody says, you ought to be a louder voice, you ought to be a louder voice. Well, we're praying. We're seeking God. We're taking care of business. Don't think we're not. I believe that we're little Esthers, big Esthers, or whatever you are. So Esther says, King, would you and Haman come to dinner with me? So they went over. It was a setup. See, the devil has setups, but did you know God has a setup too? He's setting this whole deal up. So they go over, and he said, what do you want? So I'll tell you later. Can we have dinner again? Sure. Well, a couple times more, they have dinner. Haman comes, and she said, Haman is trying to kill all of my people. He's trying to destroy and tear up the foundations and destroy my people. He wants them all absolutely taken off the earth. He's going to destroy them all. So the king says, what? And he calls Haman's men and he said, come in and get him. And he said, what shall we do to him? And they said, hang him. And they went and got the gallows. Listen, the same people that was running, listen, the same people that were running with Haman were so quick to run and get the gallows. Let me just hang him up here for you, O king. Because they didn't want to go to prison. They didn't want to go to jail. They didn't want to lose their heads. And I'm going to tell you, I think when some of these people are brought down, there's going to be a whole bunch of people go right with them, and they'll turn on them in a minute and say, let me go get the gallows. Let me go get the gallows. Let's hang them up. They didn't deserve to live anyway. These are the days of Haman and the days of Esther. And you're going to choose which side you're on. You want to play with the devil over here? You can just play all you want, but you'll suffer the same wrath. What are you standing for, church? What are you standing for? Listen. Psalms 82:5 says, listen, I'll give you this. Write it down. Psalms 82:5. They do not know, nor do they understand. This is so sad. They walk about in darkness, and all the foundations of the earth are unstable. They don't understand that all of the earth is unstable, because God is king of heaven and earth. And God can annihilate the earth right now if he wants to. It says, but they just don't understand, nor do they understand that this earth is not theirs. They cannot do what they please with it or its inhabitants. They just can't. This is not going to be pretty, church. This will not be a pretty time. No one wants to see judgment. We don't want to see judgment on the wicked, but we do want to see revival in the body of Christ, and it's going to happen. Amen. Verse 7 says, for the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright. Don't you dare think that he has not looked upon us and seen every prayer, every fasting and prayer meetings we've had, every private fasting at home, every private prayer you've prayed, every prayer at Washington, D.C. in front of the Capitol building, every prayer in every church, every prayer meeting, God's eyelids have not closed, and he has looked. It says, behold, he has seen. And he loves righteousness, and he loves to see his people looking at him. So how foolish it is to despise the faces of evil men when God said they're ignorant, they don't know that the whole earth is unstable. So you got to look at the difference in these verses. That 5 and 6 is so ugly when he talks about the fury of God and a burning wind. Oh, my goodness, you ought to read that in the commentaries. That would just take me another 10 minutes to talk to you about how it interprets the fury of wind or the burning wind. They all interpret that differently. It's like Sodom and Gomorrah. Not pretty. But when you look at that and you see verse 7, when it says how much he loves us and he loves righteousness, and you think about it, he loved us so much, he gave us Jesus. And when Jesus left, he said, I will not leave you orphans. He gave us the Holy Spirit. So we see how much he really does love us. So don't you ever be tempted to run, church. Don't ever. James told us, the brother of Jesus, half-brother of Jesus, said, you resist the devil, submit yourself to God, and the devil will flee from you. He will run, but you go to God first. As David said, no, put your trust in God, but don't you run. Don't you huddle and don't you cry, because God is in control. We'll move ahead, America. I'm telling you, we'll move ahead, church. This is the time. The Lord Jesus Christ is with us. He is watching. He never sleeps. He never slumbers, and he's never far away from us. Amen. Stand on your feet with me today. Wonderful Jesus. Just before I came, I heard this word, and I was afraid I might forget it, so I went and wrote it down, just to 9 or 10 words. This is the fury of the enemy. Do not be deceived. This is the fury of the enemy that you and I are seeing. Do not be deceived. He's mad. He's overwhelmed. Satan never dreamed for one moment that Roe versus Wade might be overturned. He had it all just going the way he wanted it. Trying to silence the people of God and take away freedom of speech. He had it going on. And they're still trying to silence. And they're still just running like a runaway train right now. I mean, the wicked is running like a runaway train in full force. But God saves his angels until he says, now is the time. And when he sends them, it's done in a flash. The word is quick and it's powerful and sharper. And it'll cut right into the intents of the heart. Don't you worry for 1 minute. Our God is taking care of us. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's lift our hands up and praise him. Let's lift our hands and praise him. You all go ahead and bring me that awesome song. Let's worship him song.
How great
oh, let's
is
sing it.
Our God.
Sing with me how great is our God. And all will see how great. How great is our God.
Oh, come on. Tell him how wonderful he is. Say it again. How great?
How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God.
Oh, let's say his name is above every name. Say it, church. Bible, am I still on? I can't hear me. If you've got your Bible, pick it up to heaven. If you've got it with you, just pick it up. If you used your phone, pick it up. It needs deliverance anyway. Okay, I read my Bible on the phone too, so I'm not throwing any stones. It's just a joke. I mean, it was real, but it was a laugh. Lift them up to Jesus. Lift them up to heaven. Now let's say this name, which was God and is God, is above every name. Say that part, Debbie. Come on.
Name above all names.
Hallelujah. Now listen, I just want to ask you today, don't you love your Bible? Just give it a little kiss, would you? Hallelujah. Wonderful Jesus, we're thankful for this meeting today and for this precious word that David wrote. Thank you for David, Lord. Thank you for that sweet boy that grew up to be an awesome man and a king, but not our king. Thank you for our Jesus, our King of heaven and earth, our King that is looking over America and the world, our King who protects us, who will take care of the wicked and take care of the righteous. Lord, we honor you and we put our hand in the hand of Jesus today. If there's one in this room that says, Pastor Paulette, I don't know the Lord. I'm in a backslidden condition. I walked away a long time ago. Or you're online and you don't know the Lord. You can know him today. Right there in your home, in your car, wherever you are, you're watching us today. Why don't you receive him as Lord of your life and move over from that wicked party to a righteous party? And I just mean in the Lord, in the works of the Lord. Come on, would you join today? Would you join the Lord's army? Would you join the children of Gideon, the army of Gideon? Come on, come along with us today. Would you join the ranks of Esther and those men that know how to keep rank in the army? The army of God knows how to keep rank, church. We know how to pray. We know how to fast. We know how to pull down strongholds. And we will not permit. We hold fast in the name of the Lord. If that's you, pray this prayer with me now in the name of Jesus. Would everybody pray with me? Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Wash me, and I shall be cleansed. Cleanse me, and I will be whole. I receive you as Lord. Come live with me forever. I give my heart, my mind, my soul to you this day. In Jesus' name, I receive you as Lord. Amen. Come on, would you give somebody a big hand clap of love in Jesus' name? Look, church. If you gave your heart to Jesus today and you're online, you need to come here and be baptized on the 29th. If you gave your heart to Jesus today or came back to him, you need to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Just make sure you sign up on the sign-up sheet. I'm going to bless you in just a moment, but I believe Brother Mike has a word. Come on. Did you say you had a word?
Lord impressed upon me these words. He says, I speak to you that you will know and understand, be aware of the spiritual gifts. To all who call themselves by my name and have the Holy Spirit dwelling within them, you also have a spiritual gift. There are those who know the gift that they have. But they use it sparingly. Or not at all. And there are those who are unaware of the gift that they possess. The Lord says, stir it up. Stir it up, that gift that is within you. Look to the Word. Search and find that gift that you have. And stir it up. Use it. That gift is yours, but it is not for you. It is for others. He wants you to be aware of that gift. And he wants you to put it into effect. Use it. Now, these are my words. Don't be afraid to use that gift. True, you might try to use it and stumble and fall. But do you remember when you were given that bicycle as a little boy or a little girl? You wanted to ride that bike so much. But you didn't know how. You fell many times until you were able to ride that bike as it should be ridden. And that's the way it is with these spiritual gifts. Try and try again. Learn. Practice. And eventually you'll be riding that bike as it should be. You'll be using that gift as God has designed it to be used. And like He said, it's not for you. It's yours, but it's for others.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Mike. Amen. Come on, let me bless you. May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause His face to shine upon you, be gracious to you, turn His face toward you, and give you peace. Your home and your life, your finances, your health, and everything that pertains to you, I bless you this day in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Make sure you say hello to somebody that you don't know today. God bless you.